Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here at the VSiN studio inside the South Point Sportsbook with Matt Eumanns and Lou Finicaro. We're talking NFL win totals. The NFL schedules obviously came out this week, which means handicappers can now look at strength of schedule, the travel impact, how much rest each team will have, etc. So according to Pro Football Focus, 13 of the 31 listed win total prices moved since Tuesday when the schedule was first coming out. Matt, have you added any NFL win total bets since the schedule release?
I haven't bet any. No, I'm looking to bet the Raiders maybe over 7. I think that's a low number. Raiders, don't forget, AFC teams get an extra home game this season. So they have 9 home games. Raiders off an 8-8 season. And 7 is the win total a couple spots, which I think is kind of low for this team. But in general, I'm not going to bet many win totals at this point. You got to wait 7 or 8 months to cash these tickets. And unless you see a number that's really off, I think it's – it doesn't make a lot of sense to fire at this point. We could see injuries later in the summer. We could see injuries in August and the shortened preseason. So the value at this point in betting NFL win totals, I think, would mostly be unders. So I would look at mostly betting unders on some of the numbers I think are a little bit too high. And I'll have a better answer for you on this question on Monday, because I'm going to work on it a little bit this weekend and write about it for next week's Point Spread Weekly. But I've got some teams in mind here that I'm looking at, analyzing the schedules, that I'm most likely going to play under the win total.
Yeah, Raiders right now on DraftKings, at number at 7, the over at minus 115, the under at minus 106. Lou, when you look at these, is there anything that you take into account specifically?
I really agree with Matt. I'd look at unders if I really was hungry for action at this point in time. But just like any week, regular week in the NFL, if you want to move early, you do. And then mostly sophisticated gamblers will wait then, if they move early, till very late in the process. As far as the season win totals, I'm going to mimic that move and let some of the public get involved with this and spend 4 months of brain damage moving these numbers around. And then before the season starts, I'll definitely get involved. It's surely possible I play an under or two between now and then. No way I'll play an over until the day before the season starts, but that's just an old-fashioned approach that I use.
He's old school, Danielle. That's Lou Finicaro. He's an old school handicapper.
Yes. Well, so for those of us who like to have a lot of stomach ulcers and things like that, like to have our money tied up for several months, let's just look at some of these for fun. The Steelers number right now on DraftKings is 8.5. It's minus 110 on both sides. So Steelers going over 8.5 wins, even with that extra game.
Well, I would lean over 8.5 at this point. But again, Ben Roethlisberger is somebody you got to watch closely. His I don't know if I can say he's fragile, but his arm strength definitely
his ego maybe
started to disappear a little bit late in the season. No, I'm more worried about his health at this age. And if you take Big Ben out of the equation, then how many games are the Steelers going to win? I do think he's got one good year left in him. But if for some reason issues pop up with his arm, or you know, he goes down to some sort of injury, then you don't want to have an over ticket on the Steelers. So I would not rush to the window to bet it. But if you ask me today, I would lean over 8.5 on Pittsburgh.
Lou, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that numbers, total season total in the NFL, 8s, 8.5s, 7.5, and 9, right in the middle. Those are brain damage numbers, meaning I have to wait until the last week of the season to find out if I'm going to win or not. I want it easier than that. So I tend to look for teams that have low numbers and find out which teams will exceed that, or a team, say, for instance, New Orleans, maybe even Kansas City with that 12.5, and go under. I'm not afraid to fade those teams. As a matter of fact, I have under 104 in the Dodgers in baseball this year, and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Lowest win total on the board right now, I believe, is the Houston Texans. It's actually at 4.5 on DraftKings right now. The plus 118 for the over 4.5 wins. Under at minus 143, so hasn't been bet up too much. What do you think about this low number, Lou?
Boy, Danielle, you really got me with that one, because I there's no way I could touch that one now. But if they get quarterback settled and the new coach seems to put some continuity in that team, by the time the late August comes around, I may change my mind.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson's going to be the quarterback. Yes. You say maybe you could make a case for over 4.5. Right now, nobody knows the answer to that. Mm-hmm. And the Texans look like, I think you can make an argument right now, they look like the worst team in the league on paper without Deshaun Watson. So that's one of those wait-and-see win totals. But as of today, I would have to say I was hoping to play under 5 or 5.5. 4.5 is probably the right number.
All right. Stick with us. Best bets and more coming up right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome back in to My Guys in the Desert. This is the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info that you need. Danielle Alvari here inside the VSiN studio with Matt Eumanns, Lou Finicaro, Chris Andrews joining us just momentarily, and later on Nick Kalikas of Circa Sports. Matt.
All right. It's great to have Uncle Lou in town. Lou Finicaro up from Phoenix to Vegas for UFC 262 this weekend. And Chris Andrews in studio, the South Point Sportsbook Director. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Great seeing my man, Lou.
Absolutely,
doing,
Chris. So good to see you. Absolutely. You look great.
Thanks. You too, buddy.
You guys want to jump up and give each other a hug?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll get it after.
Pause the show
big,
here for a minute.
A big Greek-Italian kiss.
Chris, you've been busy working on the NFL win totals. Yeah. You put them out this morning. They're up on Twitter at Andrews Sports if you want to check them out. So after the schedule release on Wednesday and the week one lines go up, now we have the season win totals and all the NFL basically. You put division odds up previous to that. So basically all the NFL up on the board right now at the South Point.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to do games of the year. I'm working on some college games of the year. But that would be the only thing left in the NFL. I'm not sure I'm going to do that or not. I might not.
Let's take a look at the NFL Week 1 lines first. In the kickoff game is Cowboys-Buccaneers in Tampa on that Thursday night. Have you seen significant action on any of the Week 1 games or just kind of small plays?
No, I got. I think I've had one dime bet so far.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. So a lot of guys clamor for it, and then you put it up, and a lot of guys looking. That's the nature of the beast, Matt. What am I going
to
tell you?
Well, it's a great talking point, too, and we like to look ahead to the NFL season, which is 4 months away. But that's Thursday, September 9th. Cowboys-Buccaneers at the South Point, 6.5. The number total is 52. So Jimmy Vaccaro's in studio with us a couple days ago. He said, as a bookmaker, you can bet on a ton of Buccaneers teaser action coming in on that opening Thursday. So you know that the Bucs on teasers are going to be a really popular play. Let's look at the NFL grand opening and how things stack up for the Bucs. I said favored by 6.5. Since 2004, defending Super Bowl champs, 13-3 in the NFL season opener. Tom Brady, 3-1 in the Thursday night opener, and Brady 10-1 career when opening the season at home. A lot of things
you're not helping me balance those teasers, Matt. You know that
you're going to be really heavy on Tampa Bay teaser action.
I know I am. Yeah, but we'll try to juice that money line a little bit. Try to get a little bit on the dog. That's really all we could do. We'll try to make it as attractive as we can. But it's going to be tough to beat Tampa at home Thursday night.
Do you think at some point this number gets to 7 or not, where you just have immediate buyback from sharp bettors at +7 on the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think we would get some buyback at 7 on the Cowboys. Listen, they have done a lot of things to address their defense. And, I mean, 7, that's a mountain to climb in the NFL. You know, you can never be in the game and cover a 7-point spread. So I think that would definitely trigger a little action on the dog.
Lou, what's your take on Cowboys-Bucks in the opener?
My take is that Cowboy running game needs to get established, and with Dak there, I think there's a chance that they can do that, and that means ball control, and ball control means less possessions, which means potentially a closer game and fewer points than many feel.
All right. Now, we're talking about big favorites in Week 1. How about the Buffalo Bills? 6.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This game's in Buffalo. Chris, I think the dog is live. I'm a little bit surprised to see the number this high, but this is another one. I'll wait and say, if it goes to 7, I'll grab the 7 with the Steelers. What do you think of this?
Well, you might see that because, really, I mean, we talk about certain teams getting, and we use like a stock market terminology, stocks get oversold and overbought. You know, right now the Steelers are greatly oversold. And one thing I want to point out, man, I haven't pointed this out anywhere else before this week or before this show. The Steelers were the only team last year that did not get a bye. And they faded down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't get a bye, not by their own doing, but Tennessee messed them up the one week. Yep. Baltimore messed them up the other week. And they wound up not having the bye. They did fade down the stretch. And I think that's part of why you saw that Steeler team fall apart at the end. Now, listen, there is a lot of stuff. Steelers had maybe the worst offensive line in the NFL last year, pass blocking and run blocking. They drafted Najee Harris as a running back. I think that will help. They addressed their offensive line with some later draft choices. I hate to say can't get no worse because it can always get a little worse. But I think it has to be a little bit improved. And I think the Steelers right now, like I said, a little bit oversold. And, you know, again, I said seven's a mountain to climb in the NFL. Well, six can be pretty high, too. So I think this team, even last year with all the problems they had, they still put some points on the board. And the defense is going to be really tough again.
This is a very good underdog, catching a lot of points. And that's why I like the Steelers side here. And I also think the Buffalo Bills is going to be – the betting public loves the Bills. You're maybe one of the most popular teams with the public going into the season, right?
They might have been a little bit overbought into this coming year. So right now, I think if you're looking at like price for perfection, you're price for perfection on the Bills and price for very much imperfection on the Steelers. So I think six would be a very attractive dog here, yes.
All right, how about the Chargers? Going to be another popular public team, and I know plenty of sharp bettors who like the Chargers. In the big picture, I do too. But the Chargers as road favorites against Fitzmagic and the Washington football team. I'm looking for dogs here in week one. I think Washington's going to be a live dog. What's your take on that Chargers-Washington matchup?
You know, in many years in Reno, I knew a guy. He'd come in and he'd bet a bunch of dogs the first week in a round robin. And that guy crushed me over the years, you know. Now, a lot of times I wound up rooting for him because, you know, people tend to bet the favorites. But I think if you are looking for dogs and looking for dogs on the money line, you can get some pretty good value. Now, both these teams this year, I'm a little bit bullish on both of them. I think the Chargers lost an awful lot of close games last year. You know, I think Herbert, I think the sky's the limit for this kid. He looks really good. They got a new coaching staff in there. So I think the Chargers are going to be a very legitimate team. But I think Washington will be, too. I think Fitzmagic came in, and you know, they had their troubles at quarterback last year and still, I think, played pretty well. And that's another team with a good defense. That's another live dog, I think, week one.
Washington has a good defense, Lou, and not only that, with the Chargers side, you got a first-time head coach in the Chargers in that early kickoff spot on the East Coast.
That's right. And listen, I totally agree with what you and Chris have both highlighted there. The Chargers are ramping up from a decent season last year. However, with the new coaching staff, new second-year quarterback, et cetera, it could take a couple of games, and you're going to catch a Washington team totally improved, brought in Samuel from Carolina, brought in Fitzmagic, solid defense, sophomore coach in Ron Rivera. I think Washington's going to be a tough pill to swallow at home, and I think it's just the Chargers are catching them at the first game of the season instead of the eighth, and I think that would make a difference.
All right, I don't have a strong opinion on this yet, Chris, but how do you see the Dolphins-Patriots matchup in Foxborough?
You know, there's a lot of things I think the Dolphins did that were extremely positive, but that might be another team that's a little overbought right now. I think I'd be very bullish on the future for the Dolphins. I'm not sure that's going to happen this coming year, and I'm definitely not sure it's going to happen week one. The Patriots, you know, you're not asking much. You're asking them to win the game, basically. You know, 2-point favorite or $1.40 on the money line, a relatively low money line. I think the Patriots are I think they're going to make a pretty good run this year. You know, I think there's some value there betting them to win the division. Their season win total, I forget exactly what I have them, but I have them like a little bit higher, I think, than most people. You know, I think the Patriots are going to make another pretty good run. Listen, the quarterback situation last year wasn't perfect, but they drafted now another one, and you know, they had their health issues last year. They had a lot of guys that opted out for the season. I don't see that happening this year. I think this is going to be a very viable team, you know, for the long run.
I think you could buy low on the Patriots here, minus two. Yeah. I could make a better argument for that, but I know a lot of people love the Dolphins. I looked at the win totals you put up today. You put the Dolphins up at 9, shaded that to the over. It looks like minus 120. Is that correct? Minus
130.
130. And the Patriots at 9.5, shaded to the under.
Yeah, so pretty close. Yeah. You know, just a little bit of juice. Juice on the over one side, juice on the under the other side, and a half a game difference. So pretty equal teams, I would say. But, you know, let's not forget, Cam Newton did have COVID last year. Like you mentioned, the opt-outs, you know, drafted a quarterback. You know, I mean, say what you will, but Belichick ain't happy about Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl. And I know he's out to prove something for himself this year, and I think they got a good chance of doing it.
Yeah, I think Patriots are going to have a much better season. All right, so how do you deal with Packers-Saints? You did not put a lineup on that in week one, and how does that throw a wrinkle into what you're trying to do when you're making these season win totals?
I didn't use them. I mean, very simply, I did not use the Packers. That's the one team I didn't use.
How about the other teams on the Packers' schedule?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I got bet today on over on two of those teams.
Uh-huh.
I got bet on – I've had – well, as of now, I got like three limit bets. Two of them are the Bears over and the Vikings over.
Okay.
So I understand
Bears
that.
Over 7, Vikings over 9?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see both of those, and I think the guy's taking it a little bit on the come, thinking that maybe if Rodgers doesn't play, all of a sudden each of those games, those two games that they face, Green Bay are going to be much, much easier. And I could see it. I tried to – I had a lot of different things I was looking at when I made these numbers, and I thought I'd put it in there. But, you know, listen, that's what we're here for. Guys are going to disagree with me and show up with money, and the guy bet me $2,000 in each of those.
That's your limit right now, $2,000 on the win totals?
Yeah.
Okay, so Packers win total not up there. What is it with Aaron Rodgers? What is it without him? I know. We've been talking about this week. And I think it makes a difference, too, if they trade Rodgers. Do they get a veteran quarterback back in return? Do you get – let's say you get Teddy Bridgewater back in return from the Broncos. What do you make the Packers win total if it's Bridgewater, a quarterback? What do you make it if it's Jordan Love, a quarterback?
Yeah.
Or Aaron, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, it's 10.5 or 11, right?
Well, I think it's – yeah, you're looking 10.5, 11, juice maybe one way or the other, either way there.
Without Rodgers, you're looking somewhere around 7.
I was going to say 7.5, yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, listen, we don't know anything about Jordan Love. I mean, did we see him at all last year? I mean, I sure didn't see him enough to make any kind of an opinion. So I don't know. And Teddy Bridgewater, listen, I love Teddy Bridgewater coming out of college. I loved him with Minnesota, but he wrecked that knee, and unfortunately he's never been the same since then. I think he's a competent backup for you, but he's not going to be much more than that, and that's very unfortunate for him.
All right, the last game to look at here, week one, Monday night, Ravens at Raiders. Where'd you open this? Where are you now? And I see you put the Raiders win total up at 7.5, shaded that under minus 130, it appears, and that's a little bit higher than some books that put up 7.
Well, you know, Matt, when I look at these, I try to think, how am I going to lose this bet? You know, and I think if I put it up 7, I really think it was a one-way number. I think guys would have bet me over. So let's say guys are betting me over 7. Well, how am I going to win the bet? They got to go 6-11. I think they're better than that. You know, I think they're better than 6-11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to have, you know, the extra home game. You know, so I thought 7.5 was a better number. And, you know, if they bet me under, you know, I think they can get to 8 wins. I think 8-9 is very, you know, a reasonable expectation here. And, you know, everybody knocks Carr an awful lot. But, you know, he's a pretty decent quarterback. You know, and they put up numbers last year. So the defense was a big problem. And I don't know if they've addressed it or not. I really don't.
I'm with you. I don't like to bet overs at this point, but this is one. I think I would play the Raiders over 7 at places that put that up, Chris.
Yeah.
I think you made a better number. I think it should be 7.5, and 7 is one you should play over on the Raiders.
I think 7's a one-way number. You might lose, but I think there's no way you could bet under 7. Now, you can't look at 6-11 for this team. I just think they're better than that.
All right, let's talk college football. A week from today, I know a lot of people are fired up about this. You're going to put up college football games of the year here at the South Point. That's one of your favorite things to do every year.
Yeah, I can't. I got a couple more conferences. I'm refining my power ratings on. I got the Mountain West, Conference USA, and the MAC. You know, and I'll use a couple out of every single conference, but naturally we're going to be loaded with SEC games. We'll be loaded with Big Ten games. We'll have some good Pac-12 games. And, you know, I think because the way I'm going to do season win totals this year, I'm still a little nervous about COVID. So I'm going to do conference games only. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what do you do with BYU and what do you do with Notre Dame? So I'm probably not going to use Notre Dame season win totals, but both BYU – and by the way, BYU has a hell of a schedule this year. BYU and Notre Dame, I think I'm going to have them in quite a few of the games of the year. So I'm going to try to compensate that way.
I know people who will be flying into town.
I do, too.
To bet your college football games of the year here at the South Point.
Tell Paul Stone to take it easy on me, Matt.
Paul's one of the few that will be out here. You expect to see him next week. I wanted to throw this up and get you guys' take on it real quick before we check out here. State of Nebraska, which is close to Lou's heart, the Senators have okayed sports betting in that state, but they are banning betting on Nebraska Cornhusker home games. How do you feel about that, Chris?
I think it's ridiculous.
Pointless, right?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, isn't there a casino right on the border across the river from Omaha?
In Iowa, yes,
yeah,
Chris.
So exactly. Give them all the business.
And as it is right now, it's a complete embargo across that bridge every single day. Now they're going to get it. I wish Nebraska would have done their due diligence like Arizona. Arizona, we've got a sharp governor that he actually hired Bill Crackman to come down, Krakenberger, excuse me, the Crackman, to come down and consult with them. And because of that, we have a really, really awesome setup where the tribes, the Indian casinos, got 10. We got 10. And so we're going to have mobile.
All right, a week from today,
needed
Chris,
to use a better.
A week from today, the college football games of the year go up here. And so what time are you going to put them up next week?
Oh, probably about 11, I'd say.
All right, we'll try to get you on the show next Friday. Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
My pleasure.
Danielle Alvari, don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, you get a $250 match bonus, the fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? In Illinois, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. In Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. In Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Not valid in Iowa. Let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Lou Finicaro.
All right, Uncle Lou, we've got a baseball game starting here in about 10 minutes in Pittsburgh. Giants and Pirates. Kevin Gausman going for the Giants, and the South Point right now, minus 190. Obviously too high a price for me to play it today. Giants have won 5 of their past 6, and they are 23-14. Best record in the National League, and Kevin Gausman's off to a great start. 197 ERA, top 10 in the NL. The Pirates, 3-11 in their last 14 games. If you're going to throw a favorite on a parlay, maybe the Giants. But I'm not going to use that as a best bet. As high as I'll go, I'm going to play the Tampa Bay Rays today. And I like the pitching matchup, obviously, for the Rays with Tyler Glass now going. The best price I can find out there at Caesars William Hill right now, Rays minus 152. So I'll go with that as a best bet. Rays minus 152 over the Mets. And yesterday in baseball, on this segment, I had a Rays winner at plus 115 over the Yankees. Also had an NBA play last night, Heat -2.5 over the Sixers, so 2-0 on best bets last night. I'm going to throw a UFC play in here. A.J. Kaplan, who's Tony Miller's nephew, Tony Miller, the Golden Nugget Sportsbook Director, he's a big fan of Lou Finicaro. You guys are very similar in the way you handicap the UFC. And he's been pitching Muniz to me on the UFC card this week. And I know you're on it too, and I looked at it and I said, okay, this makes a lot of sense against a 41-year-old Souza. So I'm playing Munoz at minus 105 as the best bet in the UFC. Is that on your card? Let's look at your best bets for UFC 262.
Munoz is plus 105,
Plus Matthew. 105. Did I say minus?
You did, but
plus
that's
105,
okay. You get the
a
benefit.
A small dog price on him. Go ahead.
He is on my card. Yeah. He was also written up with Oliveira at Point Spread Weekly. So those of you, and at the time he was plus 100. So if you missed it, you get a nickel more by waiting and taking him now. So best bets, UFC 262, Oliveira minus 135. Currently, then the Oliveira Chandler over 2.5 rounds plus 155. I'd advise patience there because that number is growing. Burgos minus 140. Grundy minus 120. Caitlin Chookagian, she is minus 140 or so, but by taking her via decision, we can convert that to a plus 100 or plus 105. And then lastly, Munoz.
Okay, Andre Munoz plus 105 against Jacare Souza in a middleweight fight at 185 pounds. I read your write-up on this in Point Spread Weekly, the VSiN Digital Magazine this week, and I thought you made a very convincing case. And I was talking to AJ, and he likes it. He liked this play a lot, too. And so I'm going to go ahead and I played the plus 105 at Circus Sports. That's one of them. Lou, I'm probably going to play most of your best bets this weekend, so hopefully you have another strong UFC card. And I would say the past year and a half, you've been really steady. Maybe you've had a couple of bad Saturdays, but very few and far between, right?
Yeah. Win percentage over the course of the last year has actually been a little above 50%. But let's understand, while that doesn't sound very impressive, we're betting underdogs for the most part. And so return on investment has been great. So a 2-2 result, a 2-3 result usually allows us to come out with a few pennies. We're looking forward to having a much better result than 50-50 this weekend.
All right. And also, we're not going to list this on the graphic, but let's go ahead and go with the Preakness best bets for Saturday. And I'm going to go with number 5, Midnight Bourbon. That's going to be my best bet. I had Hot Rod Charlie in the Kentucky Derby. He ran third. I'm going with the number 5, Midnight Bourbon. And I think I'm going to throw in the 4 in an exact box there with Crowded Trade. So 4-5. How are you going to play the Preakness?
I'm going to do exactly what my little mentor, Larry Rosso, has advised. I'm going to take the 3 and the 4 in an exact and probably play the 4 across the board straight up.
All right, we come back. We're going to look at the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's one of Lou's favorite things, and that gets started this weekend. We'll take a look at the bracket, the series prices, and the best bets in the NHL, and we're going to wrap up the show today with Nick Kalikas of Circus Sports, one of the best UFC odds makers in the world, talking about UFC 262. Back here in a couple minutes, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And VSiN has everything you need to get a betting edge. Visit VSiN.com/horses to find our full race coverage and picks from horse racing specialists. Plus, get a special offer from our partners at First Bet. First Bet is giving $20 in free bets for all new users who sign up now using the promo code Vegas20. Also, everyone who redeems this $20 free bet offer will receive full access to VSiN subscription products for free from now through the Belmont Stakes. Sign up now and you'll get analysis and wagering on every race with AI-assisted picks, secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website. Go to vsin.com/horses now for this special offer and expert analysis on the Preakness. That's vsin.com/horses. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Lou Finicaro.
All right, quick look at the PGA Tour update here. Sam Burns on fire and the Byron Nelson 17 under through two rounds, 10 under 62 today. At TPC Craig Ranch, north of Dallas. So Sammy Burns with a 3-stroke lead as it stands right now, going to the weekend. 17 under through two rounds. Of course, maybe a little bit too easy for most of these players. Lou, the cut line is -6. My best bet to win, Scotty Scheffler, is barely going to make the cut at -7. He's right there with Bryson DeChambeau at 7-under. And Jordan Spieth is he shot a 70 today. Spieth is at 11-under, six strokes back of the lead. I did win my only matchup I bet, which was Scheffler over Fitzpatrick. And Matt Fitzpatrick did not make the cut at 2-under. And Scheffler did make the cut. So positive there. Let's go to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the Colorado Avalanche win the President's Trophy, and they are the number one seed in the West. Let's look at the bracket, too. And you talked about this, Lou. This is different from past years in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And this bracket is just a first-round bracket, correct?
That's correct. We're going to determine a final four team from each of the Northwest, Central, and East divisions. And then at that point, based on season-ending point totals, we'll reseed 1-4, 2-3, which makes it challenging to really get too entailed with future positions. So I looked at a couple of bombs that I think make some sense. But more importantly, this year more than it, just like any other year, it may make more sense to play a series of series bets in order to gain your future so that you can reestablish a handicapping process after we're down to four teams and they're reseeded.
Have you had a chance to analyze the series prices that are up yet? Chris Andrews at the South Point put the series prices up on the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs today. And you can take a look at them up there on the screen now at vsin.com. I'll start at the top.
Yes.
The Bruins minus 155 over the Capitals. These are from Circus Sports. Penguins minus 150 over the Islanders. Lightning minus 160 over the Panthers. Vegas Golden Knights minus 250 over the Minnesota Wild. Carolina Hurricanes minus 270 over Nashville. Colorado Avalanche minus 450 over the St. Louis Blues. Edmonton Oilers minus 210 over the Jets. And the last one, Toronto about minus 300 over Montreal. What jumps out to you there?
What jumps out to me there is the complete lack of disrespect that the St. Louis Blues are getting based on who they are, how they played their last 20 games, who's in net. Yes, they're playing the President's Cup or the President's Trophy winner Avalanche, and the Avalanche are skilled, fast, deep. Last year, they really got hung up because Grubauer, their goalie, got injured. He's back. He's playing healthy. That's a solid team, but that team is not 455 against St. Louis. For weeks, Berube has been talking in the press like a playoff coach. His team has been festering and getting themselves together like a playoff team. St. Louis 12-8 in their last 20 games. Colorado a little bit better than that. And Colorado has owned St. Louis during the course of the year. But that does not deter me one bit. 2 years ago, the Blues won this thing on the strength of Jordan Binnington. The team is talking high on Binnington. I'm high on the Blues. And for that reason, the Blues will be a future position for me. Whether you want to take them 365 in this series and then roll it, or you want to take them 40-1 as the South Point has them here as a future position to win the Cup, either avenue you take, I think the Blues are poised for a very successful run this year.
I know a couple of hockey handicappers, like the Edmonton Oilers at 30-1 to win the Cup. Do you endorse that? How do you feel about Edmonton in that first round series against the Jets?
If anything, I think the Oilers might be mispriced in that they should be a little higher than that. I think higher than
210?
I do believe that. I think the Jets, they have such a hard time scoring goals. Really what they have is a great goaltender, but they can't insulate him in any way. The Oilers with McDavid, I think McDavid has a chip on his shoulder. Mike Smith, the goaltender, played for my Arizona Coyotes years ago with the same coach Tippett up there. These guys know how to win, and I really do like the Oilers as a threat to get out of that North Division.
You handicap hockey from the goal out, right?
Yes, and I really want to stress that the game in the playoff season, the game of hockey in playoffs and the game that they play in the regular season are two completely different games. Mm-hmm. And because there is no three-on-three Mickey Mouse overtime or shootouts, you have to be a man and get a win via overtime. And so teams that play from the goal out, such as the Blues, such as Las Vegas, Islanders, those are teams that I really try and key in on. Another good example, the Boston Bruins.
How about the Vegas Golden Knights from the go-out? Pretty strong team. Minus 250 over Minnesota Wild, and we've talked about this before. The Wild have given the Knights fits.
They really have, this year especially. That said, when I look at my flow chart and compare the teams head-to-head, it doesn't match up. And I'm going to ignore the recent success that Minnesota has had against Las Vegas. And I really look for Las Vegas to be standing as one of the four and then two final teams when it's all said and done.
Do you?
I do.
You think Vegas got a great shot to get back to the Cup?
I think they have a great shot, and it's been me that's been most critical of Fleury in past years, and I think it's Fleury that's going to help deliver him this year.
All right. You can read Lou Finocchiaro and Point Spread Weekly. You can always read his UFC analysis. Sometimes your hockey analysis is in there, but I know our VP of digital content, Ben Fox, is always trying to find these advanced analytics guys to take your place. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, as long as an old saddle can win
old
once or twice.
Lou Finocchiaro is not going anywhere.
Well, we hope so.
All right. We'll talk UFC 262 next with Nick Kalikas of Circus Sports. Stay tuned.
Into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Lou Finocchiaro.
All right, let's get right to it. We have a lot of fights to cover in this final segment today. Nick Kalikas joins us from Circus Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Fight Odds. Nick, we're hoping to watch the fights maybe down there this weekend. Lou Finocchiaro's in here with me. Are the fights going to be shown at Circa or the D on Saturday night?
Yes, they will be shown. I believe we have the Fight Warehouse going on for Circa, and I believe the viewing options are available at the D, but don't quote me on that one as well. But I know for sure on the properties they will be shown at least one of the venues.
Okay, we'll check that out for sure. I did want to tee you up on the main event before we throw it over to Lou to dig into this card. Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler, what do you have on the main event, and how do you expect that fight to play out?
Man, what an awesome fight, because these guys bring it each and every time out. I mean, they're both finishers. Right now at Circa, we have Oliveira minus 143, the comeback on Chandler at around plus 123. And I opened the line at minus 130, plus 10 on the dog. And, of course, it was staying steady for quite a while, and now we're starting to see a little bit more action come in on Oliveira. There is a lot of two-way sharp action coming in this fight, but as we get closer to fight day, it seems like the fate a little bit more love.
Well, interesting. Now, Nick, I'd like to ask how you view and break down this fight. We've discussed my angle being Oliveira and the over, but we would like to get your opinion, because I think that you favor Michael Chandler in this fight.
Yeah, I do lean towards the dog. I mean, like I said, I think, well, market-wide, the opener was about minus 180 or so, and then early action did come in on the dog. So I undercut the market and actually opened a scalp at the time that we did go up. I'm expecting this line to drop a little bit. I mean, because this is an ultra-competitive fight. I think you have to chase the dog money with all due respect in this spot, because both of these guys are high-caliber finishers. Like I said, Chandler has that explosiveness. He's got the ability to close that gap and utilize that boxing skill like a lot of fighters do not. I mean, he's just a special type of fighter, I think, with hands and his boxing ability and his accuracy as well. Oliveira on the other side of it, I mean, he's definitely a threat. His striking continues to improve. He's shown a lot more toughness, I think, at lightweight than he has actually at featherweight, since the move up did end up working out pretty well for him. I think you would say that, right? He's in this spot for a reason. And he's one of the most devastating finishers of all time, really. I mean, his submission skills like no one else. So I get that. That's the danger you're facing here. But I do think that Chandler is the better striker. I do think that Chandler has the wrestling to probably keep this fight upright and keep this fight in space and control where the fight goes. So with that, I think it's hard not to side with the underdog and take some plus money value here.
And how do you view the total in the fight, Nick?
It's tough. I think it's about right right now. I think if you're going to do anything, you have to lean a little bit more towards the under because of the finishing ability. But it's starting to steam up a little bit on the under, meaning the price was at minus 160 the other day. Now it's at minus 180 for the under 2.5 rounds. So it's getting a little bit tougher to bet. But I do think there's a finish along the way. So I don't expect this to hit the scorecards, but it's a lot tougher going 2.5 than it is, of course, the full five here. But I do lean under.
A year ago, Tony Ferguson was on his way to a fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov. He's had a couple of disappointing setbacks since. He faces a fighter very much like him in Vaneel Dariush today, although Dariush had a little trouble on the scales this morning at weigh-in. How do you break down this fight?
Man, you're absolutely right. And if this fight was a couple years ago before the two losses for Ferguson, I think he would be a favorite, obviously, coming into this fight. But that Gaethje fight took so much out of him that I think you have to kind of realize that it impact the line on this fight for sure. It did have an effect there. And then, of course, the follow-up to Oliveira and getting taken down and controlled and beat like he did in that fight, Dariush can present a lot of the same problems in that matchup. Right now we have it at minus 160 for Dariush to come back, plus 140 on Ferguson. I just think that Ferguson did kind of reach that spot in his career where we're not going to see him in his prime. You know, I think father time catches up with us all. And unfortunately for Ferguson, I think he's still game. I mean, he can still go out there and obviously win some fights, but I think at this higher level, it's going to be tougher and tougher for him. But this is a good bounce back spot for him. If he could come in here and pick off Dariush and get back on track, then maybe he has a little bit more left in the tank than we think. So it's not going to be an easy fight, but I think Dariush can possibly finish him on the feet. And I think Dariush can get some takedowns here. It's only a 3-round fight. So if I was going to be concerned, it would probably be if this fight was 5 rounds, because Dariush does tend to slow down a little bit as the fight progresses. But I trust him in a 3-round fight, and I think he can control this fight, get some takedowns, like I said, and I think he can do well on the feet here. So I think you have to lean more towards a favorite in this spot. But we are going to continue to get two-way action. Again, this is another spot. Both these guys are well-respected, that we're going to have sharp opinion on both sides.
I'm going to go down and take us to Burgos and Barboza, which on paper looks to be just a complete firefight. How do you view Barboza being a little bit older than Burgos, Burgos being a little bit wilder than Barboza?
Absolutely, but this fight's going to deliver. I mean, there's no way it doesn't, because both these guys like to stand and bang. We know that. I don't think they're going to be looking for many takedowns here. And again, their takedown defense overall is pretty decent as well. So two strikers, high-level strikers. Obviously, Barboza is the more technical fighter. He's definitely, I think, the more well-versed striker. I mean, his kicks are just amazing, whether it's to the legs, body, or head. Of course, he's very effective with them, has good hands to go along with it. One of the all-time best strikers in the sport, I think. So, but again, we're talking about a similar situation, I think, to the Ferguson fight, where Barboza is 35 years old, although he's looked okay. I don't think he's as quite shot. I'm not going to say he's a shot fighter at this point, because at featherweight, he's actually looked okay. You can argue he won the fight against Iggy that he lost. And then in his last fight, I mean, he did pull off that win there. So he could be 2-0 in the featherweight division. So he's got life left. I just think Burgos is a bad stylistic matchup for him in this spot, because he's got a lot of power. I think even though he is a little bit more wild in that stand-up game, I think it's going to probably pay him dividends here, because I think if this turns into a firefight, Burgos will probably come out on top. I think he's a little bit more durable, and I think this is a really good bounce-back spot for him as well. He's coming off that loss to Emmett, and, I mean, with the youth advantage being on his side and getting an opportunity like this, I think he's going to deliver. So for me, I'm leaning at Burgos. We are seeing the line creep up a little bit of circa right now. Burgos is minus 159. The comeback on Barboza is plus 139. A couple days ago was a lot lower, so we are starting to see some sharp action agree and come in on Burgos. But make no mistake, this should be an amazing fight. I mean, it should have fireworks all over it.
And you're able to see, you know, action coming in on these various fights. Between what you're seeing down at Circa, as well your own handicapping, take me to another fight or two that you have targeted, please.
Well, there's been a lot of action coming in on Shevchenko versus Lee. I mean, Andrea Lee, of course, as an underdog, is a popular bet. I think this is the one that we've had the most movement. We were as high as minus 200 on Antonina Shevchenko. Of course, Valentina's sister. For me, Valentina Shevchenko is the best pound-for-pound female fighter on the planet. And with Antonita training with her and kind of being in that shark tank with her and getting better and improving, I think people are underestimating her a little bit. But I understand this is going to be a competitive fight. We've seen a lot of action coming on Andrea Lee, a lot of sharp action agreeing with it as well, along with public, of course. So everybody's kind of riding that Andrea Lee train. I think at this price, though, at minus 120, we could see some value opening up on Shevchenko, because I think in a point fight situation, which this will end up being, I think that Shevchenko can win on the scorecard. So everybody kind of taking that dog. At this point, I think the value is long gone on Andrea Lee, and I think there's some value that possibly opens up on Shevchenko.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. Thank you very much. And so, lastly, the young Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist Muniz against the old, you know, pedigreed Jacare Souza. Help me understand how you want to break this fight down.
This is tough. Another spot where you have the aging vet, Jacare Souza. He's 41 years old. He's coming off that devastating knockout loss to Kevin Holland in his last fight. It just wasn't a good look. But, I mean, the guy obviously has some ability. He's one of the all-time greats, I think, as well. I mean, he's one of these master jiu-jitsu practitioners, one of the best ever to do it in the sport, I think, that improved his stand-up to the point where he's very effective in all areas of the game. It's just Father Time is catching up with him a little bit, and he's been chinny throughout his career. I mean, not as bad as what we saw in the Holland fight, obviously. That was just kind of a freakish type of KO. But, I mean, if there's any kryptonite to his game, it has been his chin in the past. And stylistically, though, this should be a pretty good matchup for him, you would think, because it's a jiu-jitsu guy versus a jiu-jitsu guy. And Muniz, he is a jiu-jitsu practitioner as well. But here, again, I think Muniz is going to be a little bit faster. I mean, he's been knocked out four times throughout his career as well. But I do think at this point, he probably is the more durable fighter. And I think the ground game, when you see these just world-class jiu-jitsu fighters start to age, they start to slow down a little bit on the ground. They're not as smooth. They're not as fast. And I think Muniz is a little bit more capable of getting this fight to the ground. We're getting more action right now on Jacare, because I think, again, if this was back a couple years ago, Jacare would be a solid favorite over Muniz, but it's not. I mean, it's 2021, and I think you have to kind of lean towards a younger fighter, even though he's not the better overall mixed martial artist. I think Jacare Souza is better on the feet, but I think his chin could get checked here, even if Muniz is not the better striker. And I think Muniz is going to look for some takedowns and probably get this fight to the floor. So if anything, for me, I would lean dog here and against the current betting action that's coming in on Jacare Souza.
Hey, Nick, how's your wagering handle on this card so far? How do you expect it to compare to recent UFC cards?
I think it's going to be a good one, because I think that even though it may be to the public spotlight, Chandler Oliveira might be floating under the radar, I think the word is going to get out how great of a fight this could be. And I think we're going to see a lot more handle on fight day come in. I mean, our limits are pretty decent right now. We're going to be taking like 20,000 on this main event. It's circa that standard betting limits for anybody on fight day. So if you guys want more, come to the counter and ask, and we can try to do our best to, you know, get you guys what you want. But right now that's kind of going to be the average size bet that we're getting quite a bit on, you know, the type of fight like this. So I think we're going to see a lot of handle on this fight, the main event. It's going to draw more action, of course, across the board to everything else.
Lou, do you have your duffel bag full of cash?
I have a pocket full of pennies, and we're going to come down there and invest them down at the Circa tomorrow night, and we'll look forward to seeing you. You'll be on premises tomorrow night, Nick?
Yeah, I'll be running the risk for this card at the Golden Gate, but I'll pop out and definitely come check you guys out.
Look forward to seeing you. We sure appreciate you coming on and spreading some knowledge with us today about the UFC 262 card.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Appreciate it.
Nope. No problem. Enjoy the fights, guys. It was a pleasure coming on. Thank you.
All right.
Nick Kalikas, risk supervisor at Circus Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Fight Odds. And Lou, you're a dog player, so looking forward to your first tweet where you put up a picture of a dog and say you're on the board.
Well,
Saturday night.
Hopefully that's with Muniz or you know, Grundy's minus 120. That'd be great if he was a dog by the time he went off.
All right. Also today, thanks to Mitch Lawrence and Chris Andrews. Don't forget, a week from today, Chris Andrews puts up college football games of the year here at the South Point Sportsbook. Have a winning weekend. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.